Hey friends, my name's Heaney. I'm an alcoholic and a general hot mess. And I have found sobriety, and I'm slowly finding emotional sobriety by using the recovery process of 12-step and recovery dharma and whatever the fuck I can get my hands on. I'm slowly learning that, you know, all of these programs, every single person that I meet on my journey will have something to offer me to help me on my journey to sobriety or emotional sobriety. Basically, just not having a noisy head anymore. I'm trying to think where to start with. I'll just probably say that the reason I'm in secular AA versus traditional AA, bit of religious trauma. I do not like being controlled. I have like this major fear that kind of kicks in, and I just think, you know, the world's going to end if I'm in a room where it feels a little bit conservative. So I have huge relief when I hear that we have freedom of expression in this room. And what gets me is why can't they just say that in regular AA? Like, you know, they kind of talk about, you know, you have to have a God and everything. But this program works just as well. So anyway, I'll stop ranting and I'll share my experience about specifically to do with my drinking and my alcoholism. When I came into the rooms the first time, I was 24. I had been drinking for 3 years at that point. I had left home and I had left Mormonism at the age of 18. And I proceeded straight to the gay bars where I had the time of my fucking life. Drugs was definitely part of my story as well. And I had just come from a absolutely suffocating existence in the Mormon faith. I had a father for a bishop. You know, we were very heavily involved. Like, it was bordering on cult. But, you know, I'm not that fucked up, apparently. I still feel very fucked up. I had no exposure to alcohol or drugs growing up. My childhood was very happy. My father was like the apple of my eye. I absolutely adored him. Everybody loved him. He was charismatic. He knew how to lead people. And so he was, I guess, what I wanted to be when I grew up. But I looked at my mother and I had to replicate her behavior because I had a vagina and I had to be a woman and I had to like be a subservient person who did all the dishes like my mother did. So, you know, that's my shit to deal with thinking that I had to follow this path that was laid out before me. I do remember seeing people drinking when I was growing up, and I was so curious. I was like, what's going on? That smells so good. That cigarette smells so good. They look like they're having a great time. Everybody who drank looked like they were having a great time, but it was inherently evil to my eye growing up. Like a lot of people, you go to a religious high school, and that kind of fucking ruins everything about religion for you. I did not like it one bit. I didn't really want to go, but, you know, my father had been to the high school. You know, it had a bit of history there. It was the only Mormon high school in the Southern Hemisphere. So we went, and it was absolutely stifling and suffocating. It was one of those high schools that didn't teach sex education because, you know, we weren't supposed to have sex. You were supposed to abstain from having sex. And I was quite, you know, naive. So I kind of just went along going, oh, is this what life's supposed to be like? Meanwhile, like all my peers were off drinking and smoking and doing this, that, and the other at high school. And I didn't even realize. I was so oblivious to it all. Like, I was a fairly high-achieving student. Like, I thought I had to do pretty well to, you know, please my family and to please my parents because that equated to, like, financial return. Like, we would save money if we got on the honor rolls for being a good student. You'd have to pay less fees. You know, being a good human wasn't just for the moral reward, it was financial reward for my family too. So it was heavily ingrained into my head. But it was marriage that really kind of, like, I guess, was a big issue for me, because in Mormonism you had to get married for time and all eternity. Sorry about that alarm going off in the background. I'm beside a play school. And as a child, this concept just completely got lodged into my brain, and I'm still trying to squeeze that shit out. The concept of, like, being stuck in a marriage and being stuck in a community, it's still there, and I still have this absolute repulsion to it, that's what I have to do or I'll go to hell. And it's really fucked up knowing and talking about this logically, because it sounds really fucking stupid, but that's still what goes on in my mind. And you know, the longer I can stay sober, the more chance I have of that eventually going away. I see people with long-term sobriety who keep telling me, just keep coming back, it will go away eventually. But at the moment, you know, I'm still just a hot mess that still has this absolute knee-jerk reaction to anything that tells me to live, be, exist, or believe in a certain belief system. I did have an appreciation for, like, the ritual and the community of religion. You know, those are kind of like inherently human things that pull us together, having a room where we can kind of connect and share and speak, having fellows and friends who have similar ideals and beliefs. I had that, but it had to be a certain way. Now, as soon as I left when I was 18, I was so happy about not being confined and controlled by that. But at the same time, I had this huge hole in it. They call it the God-sized hole. It wasn't just God, it was my whole family. My parents had been divorced. There was no more financial or any financial support from them. I had moved out of home. And I had put myself into university, and I was living on a student loan to kind of get through. My parents had separated, so, like, we very rarely caught up for Christmas birthday celebrations. So I didn't have a close immediate family unit that had dissipated. My Mormon culture and community that I had spent every waking moment throughout high school was gone. So what else is there to replace that than drugs and alcohol? It was so painfully cliche, but that was my story. And it was incredibly isolating, and it made me feel incredibly alone. And the boozing kind of got me through part of it. But it's just, yeah, but the bit. But I also kind of was very aware that my mental health was really suffering as well. Like, I was severely depressed. I went on to medication. I don't know how the fuck I made it through university, but I did. Despite, you know, being put into hospital multiple times, getting pregnant, having abortions, just all the shit that goes on in your early 20s when you're just being young and stupid. It was very easy for me to kind of brush off as this is a here and now problem, but it was really fucking with my life. And so, yeah, at 24, when I tried AA, I walked in, I saw the God stuff. I went, nah, fuck that. I cannot be in a room with people who are talking about God. But I got a whiff of something, and I saw that it was working for some people. But church halls, so, oh my God, I just can't do it. I'm not there yet. I went to about 2 months worth of meetings, and I thought that my drinking got worse. I watched my drinking go from, like, binge drinking to, like, binge drinking and waking up in the next town over, or binge drinking and waking up in the tree playing bongos, coming down off acid. Like, it just got really fucking weird. And I was like, okay, this is obviously not working. So I blamed AA, and I stopped going. And I don't know how, but I managed to kind of string together a bit of a life. Like, life was still chaotic and crazy. Somehow I kind of pulled through, and life settled down just a little bit. I got a partner, I got a job, I acted like a normal human being. I decided to give this like marriage and children thing a go because I still had it in my head that, this was a lifestyle that was going to offer me some sort of stability, because that's what I was desperately searching for, because mine had fallen apart. So I thought, well, maybe I can remake my own. Completely pushing aside the fact that I was gay, I thought maybe it was just a phase. Maybe this will work. I tried it for 8 years. It didn't work. I ended that relationship drinking the whole time. My partner was a total pothead. I was a total booze hag. We were a match made in heaven. We always had a great time. We always threw great parties. So, we were heavy users and abusers, but we made it work because all the people that surrounded us were also very heavy drinkers. And if they weren't, they were the boring people, which I chose to avoid. They were settling down and having babies and getting mortgages. And again, like as soon as I saw people doing that, I just got that knee-jerk reaction of like, oh my God, get me away from them. These breeders, what are they doing? I couldn't be around it. Like my head was so fucking repulsed by the idea of conforming. I turned around and just went in the opposite direction. So after I broke up with David, the light bulb went back on. I was like, oh my God, how could I forget I was gay? All of these parts about myself that, were just pushed down and pushed down and pushed down. Finally, it kind of come to the surface, and I was, even though I was still drinking, I felt like I was finally able to kind of find a little bit more about myself. I was still drinking, and I think I was 39 when I had been trying for about probably 2 years to really kind of like pull back on my drinking. I was pretty isolated. I was li still living with people, but the housing situation was getting a bit hectic because I was just starting to argue and just have really tumultuous relationships with the people that I lived with. I was also trying to run a business where I was hosting a lot of kind of like social events, and I found that just to getting harder and harder and harder, and I would be in a group of people, I'd be hosting and putting on this like happy face. I'd be about a bottle of wine in, and that was a bottle of wine before hosting the event. I'd start having a few more, and I would just feel the handcuffs go on, and I'd feel this disconnect, kind of like the bars would slam shut, and I just wouldn't be able to connect with people. And that's when I realized that like the alcohol was really not doing what it was doing anymore. But it took me a few years of that to kind of finally go, okay, I better do something about this. My whole life I've been trying to do something about it, but obviously nothing was really working. I did the meditation, the yoga, the fucking books, counseling, medications, didn't work. So for a couple of years, I was kind of just plodding along. I was seeing this counselor and telling her how much of a issue drinking was, but I stumbled upon something. I think it was on Facebook. Good old Facebook algorithms, just getting in there and sneaking all your information that you Google search for shit. But I think it was Annie Grace Control Alcohol, and she shared her story about drinking, and that finding her share about her drinking was when I first clicked with being able to relate to someone. I felt something that I hadn't felt pretty much ever before, where I felt like someone was sharing my deepest, darkest secrets. And I was blown away. Like I wanted to know more. I wanted to sign up to her thing straight away. I told my counselor, I was like, it's only $600 to join this online community. And she was like, maybe you should just buy the book first. I bought the book. But I thought that I had kind of finally found an answer. I got to the end of that book, and they said, okay, like, so if you're still having a problem with drinking, then maybe you should try AA. I was like, fuck that, not doing it. So I tried another book. I think it was Soberistas. Read that book. Said the same thing at the end. If you're still having a problem with drinking, maybe you should give AA a go. And I kind of had to bite the bullet and really suck up my pride. And I had met people before where AA had worked for them. I also thought they were fucked in the head. crazy. I found them to be like evangelical Christians, annoying. Even though I had partied with these people, they were sober, I was drunk. I still thought that, this one friend in particular, that they were just they didn't have what I wanted. But I sucked my pride up enough to go to a meeting, and I went in, and it was everything that I imagined. And it was fluorescent lit lighting. It was fascist font type on the walls talking about God. The room smelt weird. I'm pretty sure it was like liniment and sweat. And I was just like, what the fuck am I doing here? This is not my people. They shared stories. I could kind of relate, but my knee-jerk reaction was really grinding me. But I knew I was fucked, and I knew I was broken. And something just kind of got me through getting to meetings for, I think it was 3 months. And I was probably getting to three meetings a week. And I kept coming back. But as soon as I would leave a meeting, I would just watch myself walk to a bottle shop. And it was like I had left my body, and I was watching myself just walk to the bottle shop, pick up a bottle of wine, usually two, and just walk back out. And I had no idea like how to put it down. And it took me getting a sponsor to figure out what it was that I needed to put down, and that was to be held accountable to one person. Even if they kind of looked and resembled a Mormon missionary, which scared the shit out of me. My bless him. My first sponsor was this young boy. I fucking hated that it was men for men, woman for woman. And that was kind of like told. I'm a gender diverse person. I identify as non-binary. So when they were like woman for woman, I'm like, this is not going to work for me. How the fuck do I get around this? But I do like a challenge. So, I was a high functioning alcoholic. So I thought, well, I'll just keep coming to meetings and I'll keep drinking. Surely something's going to kick in. Nick offered to be my sponsor. And I'm eternally grateful to them because being held accountable to that one person and my stubborn pride got me to stop drinking for the first night. Just one night of knowing I'm not going to drink tonight. And then it got me through the second night and the third night. And this annoying evangelical person who had done AA, I had told them that I was giving it a crack, and they sent me a little packet of stickers. And I stuck one on my mirror every morning, probably about 10 days. And I have no like recollection of those 10 days other than it was sheer hell and that I was still getting to meetings. And that's when the meetings really started to like mean a hell of a lot more. Because I was just shaking with fear, anxiety, my old trauma just kicking me in the ass. And I had nowhere else to be but with other people who were also trembling, shaking with trauma, fucked as I was. And it gave me a space to just be who I was and to be accepted with all of me and all that I was. And to not feel judged and to not feel controlled. Up until about year of sobriety, when my sponsor kept saying, oh, as long as you believe in something, and I was telling him about all these other meetings that I was trying out. And he said one thing kind of too much about having to believe in something. That was enough for me to think that was him telling me that I had to believe in God, even though it absolutely wasn't, but that was my reaction. And so I ditched him for another sponsor who was secular. Well, not secular, but they had started their journey for the first 13 years as an adamant atheist. Even though they've kind of like morphed into, I guess, agnostic, I went, well, if she can do it, and I finally kind of understood, go and chase what you want. I saw it in this woman, so she's still my sponsor today. And when lockdown happened and the pandemic happened, and and I discovered all the secular meetings, it blew my recovery up. Like I was already kind of on this like pink cloud high of getting sober, but finding meetings like the secular meetings just blew my fucking mind. I was so happy. I finally found that that sense of coming home. And there was one meeting in particular which I started frequenting. It was a punk meeting. It was for NA, AA, MA, CMA, NEA. They were all punks. They were all tattooed. They all listened to punk. Some of them would tattoo each other during the meeting. And it was fucking hilarious. And I was like, oh my God, there really is a space for everyone. Then I discovered the leather meeting, you know, for the International Men of Leather, that I could attend and I could identify with, you know, just absolute niche groups of people where I could go and I could talk to people that I'd be too shit scared to talk to outside of recovery. I was finally meeting communities and talking to communities of people that I had always wanted to, but I couldn't because I was too busy being kind of held back with these handcuffs of alcoholism. I'm still shit scared today of a lot of people, but it's definitely getting a lot better. I love people, but I'm scared of people. And people say that when they were drinking, that they would always, that they hated people. I never hated people. I hated myself. And so therefore, I hated being around people, because of how much it amplified the hating of myself, how separate I felt from other people, and the feeling of isolation. Being tied to a recovery program, I can see today as my way out, as my ticket out of the feeling of suffocating from religion. I realize that I'm not necessarily recovering from alcoholism. I'm recovering from Mormonism. Alcoholism was one of the symptoms. And, you know, like other things come up in our journey. I'm battling for food at the moment. It's like swapping the witch for the bitch. And that gives me a little bit more scope to appreciate, you know, other people's recovery journeys and the different programs that I attend as well. I think I'm going to start rambling pretty soon. I don't know if I'm supposed to set a topic or anything for people to share on. Okay. Well, I'll just wrap it up there and say thank you for inviting me to share. I'm still a hot mess. Like, I'm sitting in the middle of the park because I didn't know what the time meeting was starting. So I'm doing it absolutely on the fly. But hopefully that's come out in a somewhat comprehensible form. Thank you, Marsha. I'm so grateful to see you at all of the secular meetings at all hours of the day. You're there. I'm like, you are my rock. I love it. It's like, whatever secular meeting, I can pretty much guarantee that Marsha's going to be there. Having another queer person of colour in a meeting, it means a lot to me. I feel less alone. And I'm very grateful to be sober and to be sharing space with all of you. So I'll wrap it up and hope you all have a good day.